With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Happy Thursday to you. North America, the mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour space station social. GA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Milwaukee to Monroe, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. Are on the air.
But they listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. How's everybody doing today? Thanks so much for joining us. Big show coming up for you. We've got Greg Anthony, who will join us from NBA Television, NBA on TNT. Greg Anthony, GA, here on the DA show, coming up at hour number 3-0, as we will talk about the NBA postseason with him. The Bucks take a 2-0 series lead in commanding fashion. The Celtics do the same thing last night over the Indiana Pacers. And how about this Rockets team right now? We'll talk about all of that coming up and more around the NBA playoffs with Greg Anthony in hour number 3. We'll also be joined by Boise State running back Alexander Mattison. Alexander Mattison finished his Boise State career with back-to-back 200-yard games on the ground, and then ultimately their bowl game was canceled because of the weather concerns against Boston College. But Alexander Mattison had a very good career and a very interesting guy, and we'll talk to him about entering the NFL draft from the Broncos program coming up here in a little over an hour from now, 20 minutes past next hour. Bat flips in baseball, Kyrie carrying the C's, the Rockets are peaking, and it sounds like people are starting to come around on our Alliance Dundon McMahon theory. The AAF files for bankruptcy yesterday, and suddenly there's some journos writing about, discussing what happened and if Vince McMahon had a hand in the end. All of that coming up this morning here on the show. Pete the Body Melody, poo-poo it all you want, but I'm here to tell you where there's smoke, there's fire, and there's a lot of smoke around Tom Dodgy, Tom Dundon.
Get him out.
Yeah, that's right. Get Tom Dundon out. And get Vince McMahon's dirty little crawly, creepy crawler fingers all over our spring football league. Get that out as well.
Leave Vince alone, please.
I want to expose the truth, and I'm here to do it. I don't care if this is unpopular. I don't care if I've got to take a stand. Nobody else will. I'm here to tell you what the truth is, and I won't sleep until the truth is exposed. But let's begin with NFL schedule making. I got to be honest. I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get why people, rubes like Mraz, sit around and wait until mid-April, until the schedules are released, only to go goo-goo gaga and start going win, win, loss, loss, win, loss, win, loss. Oh, see, we're going to go 9-7. I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get it. The players don't do that. None of the NFL players get the schedule in April and start going, oh, win, 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 loss, win, loss, win, win, win. Oh, 11-5. Nobody ever in NFL history got the schedule and started going, loss, 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 win, loss, 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 tie, loss, 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 loss. Oh, we'll be 2-13-1. Never. But yams like Mraz do. And so yesterday was schedule day. Whatevs. Usual total snore fest. Great. Now I know what teams are playing when. Doesn't tell me anything about how the season's going to end up. However, you want a few premier matchups that you can circle and look at? Okay, fine. The fact that the Patriots open up at home on Sunday night against the Steelers? Okay, fairly interesting. I can envision what that looks like in my mind. All right, we got the Thanksgiving schedule. Bills, Cowboys? Okay.
I am the epic fail.
I need to see the Bills on national TV on Thanksgiving? Is this really something I'm looking forward to? Okay. But I did think one thing of note was that the Cleveland Browns are getting a lot of love. I mean, a lot of love. And we already knew the gushing that was happening surrounding the Cleveland Browns in the offseason with the acquisition of Odell Beckham, with the acquisition of Kareem Hunt. We already know there were plenty of talking heads around the NFL that suddenly crowned the Browns AFC North champions and a power broker in the AFC. And so now we learn that the NFL is all in on the Browns as well. The Browns will open up their primetime schedule in week two, Monday Night Football, bum, 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 against the New York Jets, which Browns-Jets was the first ever Monday Night Football game back in 1970. In week three, Browns and Rams. Sunday Night Football. Well, that's an interesting matchup. We know the Rams are going to be probably a Super Bowl contender yet again. So Browns-Rams in Cleveland week number three. In week number five, they'll play Monday Night Football against the San Francisco 49ers. So presumably Jimmy Garoppolo taking on Baker Mayfield in week number five on Monday night. And then there's a Thursday night game, Browns and Steelers in week 11. So what do we learn about the schedule of what the NFL thinks or wants to believe about the Browns? Well, number one, they're convinced the Browns have some national interest, and they would be right, but they're hedging their bet by putting three of those four matchups in the first 5 weeks of the season. Yeah, the NFL's confident the Browns will matter through mid-October. Week two, week three, week five. That's Monday night, Sunday night, Monday night. They're not banking, not yet at least, on the Browns being competitive and relevant and a winner beyond Halloween. Also, you'll say, well, what about the Steelers on Thursday night? Everybody's got to play Thursday night, so you got to put that somewhere. And we all learn to know that later on in the season, we've seen this before, we could have some real stinkers, and the NFL can't do anything about it. But beyond that, and I think it's smart not to go too far ahead of yourself with the Browns, knowing that you're going to put them on primetime television if they haven't done anything yet when it comes to November. Of course, by the time we get to December, it's mostly flex games, but I think the best bet is to bet on them early. The other question is, are the Cleveland Browns ready for their close-up? I mean, 2 years ago, they were 0-16. It is where we begin. You're cold open.
I just started screaming, just yelling like you would have thought I was on the field on game day. Just exciting, you know what? Because it's the potential. It's knowing exactly who he is and knowing what type of guy he is. I mean, his play and his ability speaks for itself. But then, you know what, the things that we talked about all throughout last year of what we need, the types of guys we need in this locker room to go in the right direction.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
That was Baker Mayfield upon the trade, the acquisition for Odell Beckham, getting all hot and bothered about it. Do I think the Browns are interesting? Interesting enough to be on national TV that many times? Yes, absolutely. I find them absolutely interesting. And when you add Odell Beckham to an already interesting team that has Baker Mayfield, that already turned it around last year upon making the switch at head coach, yeah, the Cleveland Browns are a team to watch this year. Perhaps the most fascinating question in the NFL is, can they turn this around so completely that now they're a contender? And Cleveland is an amazing football town. An amazing football town. And the fact that that city is ready to pop off about the Browns means if they are good, it's going to be a party every single week. So I get why they're on national TV, and I concur, if I'm a schedule maker with the NFL, that this is who we want to highlight in this NFL season. They are interesting. However, I'm not convinced this is suddenly going to become an 11 or 12 win Browns team. To me, the expectations are so out of control now that it's kind of comical. We have no evidence Freddie Kitchens can be a head coach. None. And, you know, that's kind of a big deal. Last year, when the Browns made their turnaround, it wasn't Freddie Kitchens. It was Greg Williams as head coach. I like that Freddie Kitchens is a regular, humble guy. I like his southern drawl. I like his average guy persona. But he's got to now handle a very emotional quarterback, an extremely emotional wide receiver, a running back coming back off of a domestic violence situation, a number of new pieces, and expectations through the roof. To me, if the Browns go 9-7 and get a wild card, that's an amazing season. But people are talking about them being 12-4 and winning the AFC North and getting to an AFC championship game. Hey, let's slow the roll here. Them making the playoffs is a big win. Let's not go any further than that. And that's why I think these expectations are really dangerous. Because Odell Beckham's never been part of a winner, ever. They went to one playoff game in his tenure in New York, and he was on a boat the week before, and they crapped out against the Packers. Jarvis Landry has never played in important football games. Baker Mayfield's going into year number two of his entire career, and Freddie Kitchens has never been a head coach. Ever. Look, I would love if the Browns were really good, because I think I've talked about this before. Growing up in the 80s and watching Hanford Dixon and Webster Slaughter, watching Frank Minifield and Brian Brennan and Reggie Langhorne and Bernie Kosar, watching all of those guys, Kevin Mack and Ernest Biner, and the dog pound going crazy and throwing milk bones onto the field and old cavernous Cleveland Municipal Stadium, and the playoffs coming through Cleveland every single year, and three of those years going to the AFC Championship game. I grew to love the Browns when I was a kid, and I would love to see them back in the AFC Championship game and back as a contender, but I'm not ready to put them there yet. And it's nice that the NFL considers them interesting enough to be on national TV, because they are interesting. But let's not get interesting confused with great, because they ain't great yet. And people are putting them as great before we have any idea whether they can handle these expectations. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Connect with us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. When we come back, bat flip gate. White Sox, Royals, a bat flip heard around the world. Is that baseball's biggest problem? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This is CBS.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
And a happy Throwback Thursday here on the DA Show. We appreciate you being with us at a fine Thursday morning. As always, if you miss anything or want to hear it again, it's easy. Just go to iTunes and search CBS and DA, or you can go to our website or anywhere else really that podcasts are available. Full episodes of the DA show are available. But you can go to our website, cbssportsradio.com, and just click on the DA show tab. Aaron tweets, DA, the Browns are the backup favorite team for all fan bases that know not to expect much out of their favorite teams this year. They've got lots of secondary fans this season. I think that's probably true because the story is remarkable. The Browns have been the laughingstock of the NFL for 15 years. Every year, it's another mistake. Every year, it's another busted draft pick. Every year, it's another blunder decision. Every year, it's another GM, another head coach, another QB, and another 4-12 season. So for that to finally be good and to have expectations is a remarkable departure, and people love that story. From rags to riches. And the Browns have been rags for a long time. I love that story. You know me. When it comes to a neutral matchup in a championship game, I almost always defer to longest suffering fan base. So I love the idea of the Browns being good. My issue is, let's not put the cart before the horse. They haven't done anything yet. And I think it's interesting that the NFL is banking on them being interesting for the first 5 weeks. They're like, all right, we'll put them on national TV 3 times first 5 weeks. After that, we can bet on nothing. Yesterday, if a tree falls in the forest and it's a White Sox-Royals game matinee and nobody's there to witness it, did it actually happen? If Tim Anderson flips his bat during a White Sox-Royals matinee, and nobody is there to witness it, did it actually happen?
Tim crushes this ball. He throws the bat. The ball goes flying. It is gone. 2-0 Sox.
He leads off this inning. He's hit in the hip. He flipped the bat on that home run. And Keller starts him off, hitting him in the hip. And now here come the White Sox out of their dugout. Now here come the Royals out of their dugout. As Maldonado is escorting Anderson up the first base line, trying to keep him calm. But
this is silly.
Now Ned is trying to hold back Renteria, and now there's a scrum right on the first base line about 10 feet before you get to the bag.
You know, I know Rick is fighting for his players, but holy smokes.
I'm going to continue to be me and keep having fun, man. You know, these our fans, you know, they pay their hard-earned money to come to the ballpark to, you know, see a show, so why not give them one?
That was White Sox TV or radio on the call?
It was NBC Sports Chicago.
So White Sox TV on the call, NBC Sports Chicago, then Tim Anderson after the game. So Tim Anderson ends up hitting a home run. It's a scoreless game in the second. Tim Anderson, and there's been bad blood between the White Sox and the Royals before. So Tim Anderson hits a home run, and it's an aggressive bat flip. I'm not going to lie. Anderson takes the swing, looks at it, then puts the bat in his right hand and kind of chucks it. So it's a more aggressive bat flip than normal bat flips. You know, usually you hit the home run, both hands are on the barrel of the bat, both hands kind of flip the bottom of the bat end over end towards the dugout. You swing, you flip from the bottom. What Anderson did was a little bit more disrespectful. He swings, he changes the bat from left hand on the follow through to the right hand, and then throws it javelin style, Game of Thrones style, at the dugout. It's not really a flip, it's more of a chuck. This incites the Royals. There's this nonsensical baseball melee where people come out, but no punches are actually thrown. There's a lot of, hold me back, bro, hold me back. Hold me back, man! When everyone doesn't really want to charge forward anyway. So they're easily held back. And then this, of course, leads to the discussion of, was that disrespectful? Was that unfortunate? Was that against the bylaws of the game? Is that a fine? Is that a suspension? All of this type of stuff. Here's my thought. If we get so bent out of shape over bat flips, we're missing the bigger issues in baseball. Okay, Tim Anderson, was it more disrespectful than your normal bat flip? Sure. Is it reason enough for benches to clear? Absolutely not. And of course, after Tim Anderson did that, he got plunked. People get upset. That's when the benches clear. I think that baseball has bigger fish to fry, and baseball keeps getting dragged down into this being a thing. It's not really a thing. I'll tell you what really is a thing. The pace. That's really the thing. Because there was a jarring video earlier this week that made the rounds on social media.
I'm not on Twitter or Facebook right now.
That I found so relevant, so important, so vital to the health of baseball that I watched it multiple times and kept going back to it. It was a side-by-side video comparison of Yankees-Red Sox last year in the playoffs, David Price on the hill, versus a Yankees playoff game. It might have been Yankees-Red Sox 1978, the one-game playoff, the Bucky Bleep and Dent game, but it certainly was, ironically, the 1978 postseason, the one that Brian Kenny always talks about here on the DA Show. And side-by-side, it was Louis Tiant on the hill for the Red Sox and David Price on the hill for the Red Sox. Side-by-side, the same exact time frame. In the time it took David Price to throw one pitch to the plate, one, Tiant threw three. And I'm watching this, I'm going, no way. I'm thinking all along that it's going to be two pitches in one. I'm thinking all along it's going to be two pitches in 1978 equal one pitch in 2018. And he got through three. And Louis Tiant wasn't even working too fast. It wasn't like he was just getting the ball and then firing. He's getting the ball back from the catcher. He's looking in. He's getting his sign. He pauses. He delivers. And I said, my God. Can somebody get this in front of Rob Manfred? Can somebody just put this video in front of everybody in baseball that worries about bat flips and worries about disrespecting the opposing team and the unwritten rules of baseball? Can somebody just put this right here, David Price looking in, pulling out, not doing anything, looking to the side, looking to the catcher, pulling out again, pausing, finally delivering. Can somebody just put that in front of the commissioner and the owners and the power brokers of baseball and say, forget bat flips. Forget the supposed disrespect of guys like Yasiel Puig or young Latin players that have a lot of flair. Forget that. Forget it. It's not important. What is important is we used to get three pitches to the plate in the time that now we get one. One! Therein lies the issue. Could you imagine if the NBA extended the shot clock times three? So instead of a 24-second shot clock, you now had a 70-second shot clock. How much that would grind the game to a halt. Imagine your football play clock was three times as long. So instead of, say, a 40-second play clock, you now had a minute 20. Or let's even say longer, a minute 60. Imagine you had a minute plus to get your next playoff. What that would do, grinding football to a halt. And baseball has allowed this. And it just happens because it's our untimed sport. There's your problem. Forget Tim Anderson's bat flip. That's the most energy, the most excitement that could happen at a game right now, because we're getting one pitch in every three of yesteryear.
855-212-4CBS is the phone number. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS.
A little house cleaning note. The bunny outfit did not come in the mail yesterday.
I am the epic fail.
And so tomorrow shall be death by salsa. One spicy moment. Tomorrow, one spicy moment. Tomorrow, myself and Andrew Bogish will don the Easter Bunny outfit. It is a white Easter Bunny. Bunny ears straight up, plus a polka dot, a yellow and polka dotted vest. Obviously formal wear for us as bunnies. We will then pass out Cadbury cream eggs and other delicious Easter candy to the sales teams on floors 10 and floors 11. I will take one floor. Bogish will take the other floor. Then we will don the outfit and eat Death by Salsa, the hottest salsa allowed on the free, on the open market in the free world, dipped only with Peeps. That will all take place tomorrow on the show, because the bunny outfit did not come yesterday as HalloweenCostumes.com had promised originally.
Peeps with salsa.
One dip of salsa, correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
You have to take the peep, dip it in.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to scoop like it's a tortilla
scoop.
Got to
have some debris.
It's got to have some chunks.
Yeah.
Eat it. Full peep has to be eaten. You can't just take half the peep. It's got to be like a full tortilla chip. Scoop, bite, swallow, full peep, you're done.
I already hate it.
Oh, you hate it. I've already done it.
That's true. I also, by the way, I don't know if you heard side B yet. I have an email into the ESPN tech firm to see if, since I'm listed ahead of you in the standings, if I somehow won our tiebreaker and therefore you are technically last.
Uh-huh.
Gonna get out of this last second. There's still time. There's still time.
It's pain around here, but we are men of our word, knowing that Mraz would never pay up this bet. He would find a way to slink out of it.
I went to Central Park in a Speedo. I don't slink out of anything.
You were trying to get out of that forever.
But I did it.
You were looking for any loophole. We just wouldn't let you.
I did it. I've paid off every single bet I've had to here. Thank you to the Baylor Lady Bears.
When we come back here on the show, Kyrie with a huge night last night. Can Kyrie carry the Celtics to the NBA Finals? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Good value, big upside.
DA, if you and I could sit and watch the 1978 World Series.
Yes!
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Boom! That's what I'm talking about. Brian Kenny, very excited about listening to the 1978 World Series or watching it with me. And I would be excited about that, too, because we would get three pitches in the span of one pitch in modern baseball. Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. 42 minutes past the hour. And our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com. In 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance.
How about that?
Tomorrow's going to be a good day to watch the simulcast. If you have never watched the DA show before, you should probably bone up on it today. We've got 2 hours and 17 minutes to go. It's available on any device. Are you on your phone? Cool. Tablet? Fine. PC, laptop? Oh, yeah. Even a smart TV. Just go to watchda.com. Because tomorrow, myself and Andrew Bogish will be handing out Easter treats around the hallways of CBS Sports Radio and the sales department, which is going to be really awkward. And then we'll come in here in the Easter Bunny outfit, festooned in a
very jovial, holiday-esque polka dot vest. And then eat death by salsa using nothing but peeps.
I like that word, festooned.
Festooned.
Good SAT word.
Isn't there a pasta festooned?
Pasta fajoule.
There could be both.
So that's going to be tomorrow. And you'll be able to watch all of that because we're going to have a live camera behind Andrew Bogish during the show handing out those candies. As I host the show, Bogish will be handing out those candies across the sales department. And we're going to have a camera following him. And we'll do live look-ins at watchda.com. So I highly encourage you to make sure you understand how this whole new technology works. Just go to watchda.com and press play. I know that's tough for some of you guys. Watchda.com, press play.
Electronically ignorant.
You like that, big boy.
Oh, dear. Worlds colliding.
I thought of a potential problem.
Yes?
Do we want to think this through on the break, or do you want me to tell you now?
You seem so scared, horrified, concerned. I don't even want to know what you're thinking right now because it's going to throw off this entire segment.
Okay. I'll just tell you. It's Passover and Good Friday tomorrow. I don't think the sales or traffic, I don't think anybody's in besides programming people tomorrow. I think it's a company holiday. I just thought of it.
Well, then we'll just have to have Bogish haul ass around the programming. And an Easter Bunny outfit. Get to hopping, Bogues. Get to hopping. We got the bosses you got to go see.
I'll say hi to Chernoff.
Yeah, even better. Last night at TD Garden in Boston, the Celtics were up 1-0 in this series against the Indiana Pacers. And then last night trailed by 12 early in the fourth quarter, 82-70. And that's when the Indiana Pacers hit the skids and Kyrie went off.
It felt good to be here in this position, playing in this arena. You know, it's just been a long journey from having those two knee surgeries and watching the team last year and finally getting a chance to lace them up for the Boston Celtics in the NBA playoffs. It's nothing like it.
Gordon Hayward gets the free throws. Tyreek Evans will dribble it into the front court, but the clock will hit triple zeros. And the Celtics don't steal one game. They steal two behind a truly epic franchise-carrying performance by Kyrie Irving tonight.
Kyrie Irving last night, a huge night, 37 points out of the Celtics, blew by the Pacers in the fourth quarter, played much better than Indiana, and Kyrie was hitting shots from all over the place, finished with 15 of 26 shooting last night, 6 three-pointers, 7 assists as well, and Kyrie was phenomenal in the 37-point outburst to take game number 2. And we know the odds are when you take the first 2 games of a series of the NBA playoffs, you almost always win. It's a crazy stat, but if you take 2-0 series lead, you almost always win the series. So a big deal last night for the Celtics. There was a couple of big takeaways I had watching that game last night. Number one, that's the reason you want Kyrie on your team. For as much problems as he can create, for as bizarre as his line of thinking sometimes is, for as petulant or unpredictable as his attitudes and emotions are, last night, the Boston Celtics don't win unless Kyrie Irving is on the floor. They just didn't have anybody that could match what Kyrie was putting out there. And every time down the floor, he was feeling it and wanted to shoot, and most times he was making it. Whether it was spotting up from beyond the three, knocking down jumpers, driving to the basket. What you saw there last night was when Kyrie is on like that, he is nearly unguardable. When Kyrie is playing like that, he's one of the greatest offensive guys in the NBA. And this is why you put up with the nonsense. You know, Brian Windhorst has done a couple of interviews the last week and a half, and he has mentioned, and it's made kind of national news, that Kyrie Irving, after the 2016 NBA Finals when they won the championship, instead of hugging his dad and hugging his family, was quote-unquote angry Why you'd be angry after winning the NBA Finals, who knows? And that while the rest of his teammates were celebrating for the Cleveland Cavaliers in the locker room, he was FaceTiming with Kobe. Awkward. Also, Windhorst has said that he has followed Kyrie's career and family very intimately, as Windhorst has been totally attached to those Cleveland Cavaliers teams for a long time and used to write for the Akron Beacon Journal as well. And he says that Kyrie is the most complicated guy he's ever come across. Really complicated, complicated history, complicated guy. And that you just never know what Kyrie could be thinking. Never. So Kyrie is difficult. Kyrie is a handful. Kyrie is not easy to coach. But last night, without Kyrie, the Celtics have a 1-1 series. And Kyrie, after the game, saying, "This is why you suit up for the Celtics. It's a truly special honor." All of that. Does that mean he's coming back next year because suddenly he's sold to the Celtics? Who knows? Who knows? You have no idea with him. Number two, here's the more important part. As great as Kyrie was, the Pacers' offense was dreadful. And if the Pacers make two shots, and some of it is the Celtics' defense that was swarming, but most of it was without Victor Oladipo, they don't have any real offense. It is just chuck and duck. Without that, the Celtics would have lost last night. As great as Kyrie was, the Pacers scored 12 points in the fourth quarter, and almost all of them have, after a 12-point lead, by the way, almost all of those 12 happened in the final 3 minutes of the quarter. It was one of the most dreadful, pathetic, humiliating offensive performances I have ever seen. The Pacers led 79-68 entering the fourth. The Pacers had a three-pointer by Tyreke Evans, 40 seconds gone by in the fourth quarter. The Pacers didn't score again. Again, this is 40 seconds into the fourth. They didn't score again until Wesley Matthews had a three-pointer at 3:26 left. They went 8 minutes, not without a field goal, without a point. They went 8 minutes in the fourth quarter with a 12-point lead. They didn't score a point. They were pathetic. Miles Turner hoisting it up. Wesley Matthews hoisting it up. Bogdanovich hoisting it up. Doug McDermott hoisting it up. Corey Joseph missed a layup. They were pathetic. So, yeah, nice win by the Celtics. And, yes, great performance by Kyrie. But if the Pacers make two shots in the middle of that 0-for-8-minute slump, they win last night's game. In other words, I don't think last night's win means that suddenly the Celtics are world beaters. I think a lot of that was that the Pacers were truly pathetic. 855-212-4CBS, the phone number. 855-212-4CBS. Jarrett tweets, "Hey, DA, a minute 60 is actually just 2 minutes." Ah, yes. Thank you, Jarrett. Thank you. Makes sense. Yes. Math is not our strong suit around here on the DA show. Joshua tweets, "Was the bat flip disrespectful? Who cares? You're talking about on national radio a matinee baseball game that even the two teams' fan bases don't care about. MLB should make bat flipping a requirement for a player that smacks a dinger. More interest generated that way." I mean, seriously. Baseball players getting all bent out of shape over a bat flip. Man, there are so many bigger fish to fry in baseball to fix. Bat flips ain't one of them. Christopher tweets, "Pitchers celebrate all the time. Let the batter celebrate a little bit. It adds connection to the fan base." It's amazing. In basketball, slam dunk, you stare down the opponent. Posterized. In football, you sack the quarterback. You intercept the quarterback. You're staring down the sideline. In hockey, score a goal. You can stare right at the goalie. In baseball, well, let's not celebrate, guys. Let's roll it back a little bit. Let's be very respectful of our elders that have come before us. I mean, come on. It doesn't work. But beyond that, who cares about bat flips? Speed, pace of the game. Move it along. Let's pitch. Let's throw. Let's stop stepping out of the batter's box. Let's stop stepping off the mound. That's why I like this mandatory three batter rule for relievers. Keep them in there. Keep them stressed. Keep the action going. When we come back here on the show, the Houston Rockets, an easy win last night over Utah. Right now, this Rockets team is feeling it. Are they peaking at the perfect time? That's next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.